Apology accepted. We get on to our guest. All right, he doesn't want to hear about this.
All right, let's go to the Cure Hotline. We got Chris Childers in the On Deck Circle, ready to rock and roll. He is headed down to Atlanta for the SEC Championship game.
Mm.
Should be a doozy. You can hear him on SiriusXM. Full Ride. Does a show with Rick Neuheisel. He's called the Show Pony. So let's find out, Chris, where did the whole Show Pony get hatched? Tell us the story.
Oh, that was Rick. That was a Rick Neuheisel thing years ago, where my boss at the time was, they have these mock things that they do for the college football playoff where they send like a group of people to like the committee room and they do, they pretty much essentially pretend to be in the college football playoff committee. And so I did that one time with ESPN, and I was there with like Kevin Negandhi and Stanford Steve and a bunch of people, but I was the only person that wasn't an ESPN employee. So my boss at the time was like, I need you to go down there and be my show pony. And that's how it started.
Really? Okay. And it stuck like that? Just from that?
It stuck like that. Because I said that to Rick, and then Rick just ran with it.
Wow. Well, now it's, it's a staple of your show.
I know. So that's how it started.
Wow. So we can be, this is where we are getting ready to go into 2023. Like, radio shows are no longer just radio. Now they're visuals. So you can watch us every day on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And currently, as you look into our Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio, it also, Devlin has put up a picture of our guest on the phone. That's you, Chris Childers. And it's you probably, it looks like, at SEC Media Days.
Yes.
Talking to one Nick Saban, and he doesn't look thrilled to be talking to you. What is your relationship with little Nicky?
It's fine. It's okay. Pretty good. I don't remember what I asked him, but I know that he was not exactly, I think the picture was a little bit deceptive. I just think that was, we caught him in a little frown, but he was actually in a decent mood that day. But I've actually never had a bad conversation with him. I know many that have, and I am crossing my fingers that I never get there, because I really don't want that feeling when I'm done talking to him of like, oh my God, that was just completely and utterly horrible and awful and unnecessary. But I haven't had that moment yet.
He slapped my leg.
Pretty much.
Chris, during an interview, he has slapped my leg from my question. Just slapped
me. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it was audible. You could hear it over the airwaves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He just flat out just slapped me. I mean, on the leg.
Intimidating, tiny little man.
So I said you're heading down to Atlanta, and believe it or not, his team is not playing, which is kind of a rare sight. Does LSU, after the gag job that they had on Saturday, and I'm sure they're done throwing up in their mouths, do they have any chance of upsetting Georgia?
I don't think so. I mean, I really don't want to go, if I'm being completely honest.
What?
I know. They're going to get their butt. I mean, to me, Georgia's going to show up and devour them. And
oh, you think they're going to get wiped?
Yeah, I think Georgia's just going to destroy LSU. To me, it's going to remind me of like when Alabama played Florida and Jim McElwain was the coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just,
yeah, I remember that.
Like, right? I don't think there's going to be that much chance for a competitive game. I just think Georgia's on another level. I am kind of curious if tomorrow night, if Caleb Williams loses and doesn't play well, is there any way that Stetson Bennett can win the Heisman Trophy on Saturday?
No.
I kind of think there's
think
a way.
So.
I do.
Really?
And I'm a voter. So, yeah. So, I kind of think so.
See, I feel like Caleb Williams had his Reggie Bush game Saturday. I think he won the Heisman Saturday.
Could have. But what if he pees down his leg against Utah and that's two losses against Utah? And then, like, are we really voting for Max Duggan?
No,
you're not.
So, like, that's one of those things. I am absolutely submitting a vote for Caleb Williams if the season ended today, but it's not ending today. So I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm giving you a heads up right now. There's going to be significant less voting for the Heisman Trophy this year.
Yeah.
Significant. You're going to hear about this. They have put, and I'm telling you right now, this will become a story. what they are doing this year to make people vote is insane. And I cannot imagine, like, the older crowd that struggles. Like, Rick Neuheisel would already complain because they used to make you put in, like, one password from one email, then another password from another email. Now they're, like, going through background checks and stuff. Like,
oh.
It's wild. Like, it's a whole thing. And I'm just like, do I want to fill out a
You mean like if you've been arrested or what? Are they doing drug tests?
It is like highly secured. Yeah, like you're going through background checks and stuff. And I'm like, who cares to vote for the Heisman this bad?
Are they checking your credit score?
They might, which I actually, wow. I'm in the 800s, baby.
Oh, so am I, Chris. All right.
Nice.
Hey, radio fist bumps, man. To the 800 Club.
Man, what's happening?
Exactly. So they can check mine all day, and I'll be happy about
yeah.
it. That's the only thing I got going for it. I'm proud of that. But, yeah, man, I mean, I think he probably is going to win the Heisman Trophy, but if he doesn't, like, let's just say he throws three picks against Utah. We might be voting for Mack Duggan.
Yeah, but here's another
sure
complaint.
Mack Duggan.
Here's another complaint, Chris.
Yeah.
How many of your fellow constituents have already voted and doing the stupid thing and not waiting and watching these damn games this weekend, and they've already submitted their vote?
I'm going to bet not that many.
Really?
Of what
I hope you're
them.
Right. Yeah, I hope you're
I'm
right.
I think because guys that want to vote are looking at this. I'm going to pull up this email right now because it is, like, crazy how many. God knows if I'm going to vote this year. Like, if I might get halfway through it and quit.
You make it sound like filling out your taxes. I mean,
yeah, exactly. But they gave us the email went live on Monday.
Okay.
So anybody who wanted to vote Monday could have voted. You could have voted right now if you wanted to for the Heisman Trophy. And that's always been a problem. And I just don't know why. The Heisman controls it. Why can't they wait until Sunday to give us the ballot?
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, it's not like it's the, I mean, give us, it's really that awful if you give us a 2-day window. I'm pretty sure you can handle it in 2 days to vote for three people. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? Like, why do we need a week and a half to do this?
Yeah, it's a good question.
People giving careful consideration, perhaps, you know. Mm-hmm. Got to think about it, you know.
I hope so. Or seeing if they pass their drug test.
That too.
We have now found out that they are going to expand to 12 in 2024. How did we go, how did we just skip right over 8 and get straight to 12? Like, what happened? We went from, you know, remember when it was 2, like, oh, my gosh, you can't do any more than 2. I mean, this is the right number. And we went to 4. And then it was like, how about 8 or 6? Oh, no. What about, like, you know, finals week and all that stuff? Well, we just skipped past all that and went straight to 12. Is this a good idea?
Oh, yeah. It's the greatest thing ever. I am so happy. I've been celebrating. I have been what we call an expansionist on my show. It's, you know, my political party that I've started years ago. To me, the 14 playoff killed college football. This year is a little better, but the last several have been extremely boring and unbelievably predictable. And quite frankly, as somebody who doesn't get to cover anything but it, I was bored as hell. And kind of am to a certain degree. I think this makes everything so much better because you're going to get regionality back in college football. I think kids from California don't need to be coming to Alabama and Clemson to play college football because they have to, because it's the only option, like Bryce Young or, you know, the kid at Clemson, DJ Uiagalelei or whoever. I mean, whoever comes from California, we have so many of that. Texas kids, you know, this has become a mass exodus to the Southeast, and I just think it's wrong. I think it's hurt the game. I think it's become lacrosse. I mean, lacrosse is a northeastern sport. College football has become a southeastern sport. It's wrong. This sport is a great sport nationally. It has a great tradition nationally. Think about when you were a kid, when you were watching Jake Plummer for Arizona State and the Ryan Leafs of the world and, you know, USC and all its glory and dominance. It is better when every part of the country has a seat. It doesn't need to be lacrosse. And so to me, the 12-team playoff will alleviate this. It'll fix this. It'll give kids a chance to not have to go to the schools in the Southeast in order to play for the big prizes. So I think this is long overdue. I am very, very thankful, and I just wish we could do it this year and not have to wait a couple years.
I see recently you had a chance to speak with Gus Malzahn, who's down there at the University of Central Florida. Is there any indication that you got from him that he still might rather be at Auburn instead of down there in Central Florida?
No. In fact, I will say the exact opposite of that. And I would tell you right now, and you might say, how dare you, you crazy son of a gun, and maybe I am. And Darren's known me long enough to make that assertion, and I wouldn't argue with him. But I think he might have a better job than he did at Auburn. I think that the University of Central
Florida, less drama, for sure.
Less drama, and now you might have better access. Because think about what we just talked about. There is a 12-team playoff. There are now six conference champions that are going to be getting bids to the college football playoff starting in two seasons. The league that he's in is going to be well-positioned. The school that he's at has over 60,000 undergraduates. It's in Orlando, Florida. It has a great football recent tradition. They have built facilities accordingly. They are now going to the Big 12. This guy does not have to deal with Saban. He doesn't have to deal with Alabama. I talked to him yesterday. We point this out all the time. When we used to interview him at Auburn, he sounded like a zombie. He's got life about him now.
He was stressed a lot at Auburn. I'll give you that. He was stressed quite a bit. He was.
Yes. And he's got happiness about him now. He's not just like, I used to interview him and he'd be like, you know, we're going to run the ball, we're going to pass the ball.
Now the guy's
like actually like happy and talking. And he's got like, oh my God, I love my school and I love the resources. The guy actually is having fun coaching football again. And I find that refreshing for Gus.
I wanted to ask you, as we shift gears here to the World Cup, if we can, what is it going to take to get Americans to really buy into this? Or are we buying in, or is just people like me who's just kind of blah with it at this particular point? If the United States is not playing, as we watch Japan take on somebody right now, I mean, the action looks great, but we're not invested in either one of these teams. And, you know, it can be tough sometimes for us to kind of get into it here. What is it going to take?
I just think we keep doing what we're doing. There are going to be people like you that are very, very American, that are very, very into their traditions of what they've always known and what they grew up with. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this. I have loved this sport intimately for decades, and it's never been more popular, and it is tangibly more popular than it's ever been. If you look around, go look at the bars, go look at Tailgate Brewery on the Mumbrian.
Oh, yes, sir.
During a game.
Yeah.
It is packed. I'm talking like standing room only nuttiness. You go to a United States soccer game, they come to Nashville pretty often. Mm-hmm. They'll always draw, you know, around 30,000 people. To me, it's a sport that continues to grow. I think the way that the MLS has expanded in different markets has certainly helped to bring soccer to people, Nashville being one of them. I think the team has been unbelievably successful. I'm a season ticket member. It's kind of the reason I'm staying, if I'm going to be completely honest. I've thought about moving back to the north or going back to Chicago, and I have such a connection that I don't want to. I want to be around my club. And that might sound weird, but
did
it's
you
true.
Just tell like, us you're staying no in Nashville because of Nashville
yes.
SC?
Yes. I have no affiliation at all with the Titans or the Predators. They do nothing for me. But this club has absolutely given me what I've always looked for as a Nashville resident, which is something to really call my own. And I think you're going to get that from a lot of people. I think a lot of people will say that. A lot of people love this game. We don't understand people like you. No offense.
No, come on, man. It's fine.
Like, I think American football is 5 million times more boring, and I cover it for a living than soccer. Soccer to me is the most exciting version of sport that exists in the world. Like, it is constantly moving. It is flowing. It is, you never know when the moment's going to come. And if you actually are invested in the game, you will see that. Like, you cannot calm down. My heart rate yesterday on my Apple Watch kept telling me to go to the hospital. because it was over 120 the whole game. The whole game. That's how great the sport is. That's how into it you're going to get. If you learn it and understand the ebbs and flows and the rules, and if you actually get invested, you will go from it being boring to the most exciting sport you watch. I promise. I promise.
Then Walker Zimmerman, got your blood pressure back down after, he saved the day.
Making the stop there.
After he saved the day.
I love my Walker. I love my Walker, and I love my Shaq more, and I may or may not have visited the Ted Lasso sign for Walker like 3 or 4 times since they put it up.
Are you watching these games with a man bun?
No, I do not have the hair to pull that off. Okay. I wish I could because he's a beautiful human being, but I cannot do it. He looks like Thor, doesn't he? He's got the Thor look going on.
I mean,
sure. Okay. We'll go with that. I mean,
you don't think so?
I don't think we could talk you out of it. So,
yeah. All right.
I'm just going to let you have it, man. I'm going to let you have it because I don't know if we could talk you out of it here.
You're
if you think that gentleman looks like Thor, then okay, he's
no
Thor.
Yeah.
All right, here's the.
I will not be talked out.
Here's the million-dollar question on the way out. Okay?
Yes.
Can they actually pull off Saturday morning? Can they win?
Yes. I never say this, and I don't think they will win. I will pick the Netherlands to win the game. I never say this, and I'm usually the most negative sports fan in the entire world. This World Cup has felt different. And this is why I think the sport of soccer in this country is going to feel different in 4 years, in 8 years. We have upped our skill level significantly. 8 years ago, we had a bunch of guys, like a bunch of Walker Zimmermans, like a bunch of MLS quality players. Walker Zimmerman and Shaq Moore are the exception and not the rule right now. We have guys that are playing in the Premier League, in the Bundesliga, in Italy at Juventus. I mean, we have major players all over the place. Like McKinney plays for Juventus. Tim Ream plays for Fulham in the United States, or in the English Premier League. Robinson plays for Leeds. I mean, on and on it goes. We tried to play good defense in the past and try to score on set pieces, try to steal a goal on a header, try to steal a goal on a corner kick. If you've watched the last 3 games, that's not the way America plays soccer anymore. We can possess the ball and put pressure, and that comes with skill. That comes with quality. We have upgraded our roster significantly. I think that just has to do with the growth of the sport. The more people care about it, the more they love it and fall in love with it, it's going to grow another great generation of soccer players. And I think right now we are getting to the point where, a Clint Dempsey in the history of soccer or Brian McBride is going to be looked at as an average player. Because we're going to grow legitimate superstars on an international level, and I think we're already doing that.
Chris, we appreciate SiriusXM giving you the afternoon off so you can make the appearance on the show.
Yeah.
I know they like you with a hot mic at all times. Enjoy the Georgia blowout in Atlanta, and we'll talk to you down the road, man.
Thank you, Chris.
You know what I did? I actually took a nap this afternoon, so your phone call woke me up. Isn't that glorious?
How good did that feel?
Oh, it's so good. I still feel amazing right now. Waking up still, and I feel refreshed and just incredible.
Any chance they give you tomorrow afternoon off?
No. Yeah. Hell no. They will never be that kind.
Yeah, 2 days never. In a row.
Too much.
No. Nope.
Silly talk.
Not going to happen. But today was amazing. Thank you, boys.
Chris, thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Chris Childers, the show pony.